Hey guys, welcome to another episode of Deadline's new Hollywood podcast. Well, if you need a reminder, I am Amanda Nduka.
And I am Dino Ray Ramos, and we are inching towards the end of 2018.
Yes. Are you excited or no?
I am.
I'm like, where the hell did the time go? Like, oh my God. Are we already in December?
But for this episode, we have Jovan Adepo, who is just killing it.
Yeah.
Like, on TV and film. He recently starred in the film Overlord. He's been in Fences. He starred in Mother. He
was The Leftovers.
Leftovers. Yeah. And then he's going to be in Ava DuVernay's Central Park 5, which comes out next year on Netflix.
Yeah, of course, we talk about that. And we talk about Overlord. And just, like, his general, like, resume. He's been worked with some really good people. Like, being, like, a young black actor, you've already worked with Denzel.
Like, he started off by working with Denzel and Viola.
Yeah, like, come on now. Like, that's, like, any actor's dream. And he's doing Jack Ryan.
Yeah.
Which is huge on Amazon.
Yeah, and he's worked with Darren Aronofsky from Mother.
Yeah, we mentioned that.
Yeah, and Damon Lindelof for The Leftover. Like, these people, his resume is already, like... Yeah.
He's pretty stacked. And like you said, he has Central Park 5 coming up and Jack Ryan. So it's like, he has a pretty
He's not done, but he's set. He's good to go.
He's set for the next couple years. But he's great. He was very fun to talk to. Mm-hmm. We talked about his upbringing. Grew up in London, but mostly... Grew up here in the States. But it's just really, really nice conversation. He was also a football player. We have
We talked about him, and then he talks about John David Washington as well, because they're buddies.
Yeah,
and they talk about he shares a football story about, you know, him. I guess it's a football story. Yeah. He mentions him, but it's fun.
Yeah. So here is Jovan. Yeah. Jovan, thank you again for being here and stopping by. So we like to kind of start from the beginning. I read that your mom is Nigerian and your dad is African American, correct? So what kind of, like, talk about your house, like, how, what was it like growing up?
I mean, there wasn't, like, anything specific I could say about her being Nigerian and him American, you know what I mean, as far as, like, my upbringing. But the most would probably be, because he's a military veteran, he's Air Force 20 years, so.
Oh, cool. My dad was in the Air Force, too.
So, you know, a very, very structured upbringing, but, you know, I mean, it was fun, I guess.
Was there a lot of, like, that Nigerian culture, like, was there a lot of that growing up, or?
Not so much, because my mom was raised in England.
Okay.
So, whatever, you know, as far as, like, the foods that, like, Nigerians make and stuff like that, like, we would have that when my grandmother would visit. But it wasn't, like, a huge part of my upbringing in Maryland. You know what I mean? I mean, she was born and raised in England, and me and my brother were born in England as well. So it was more American and maybe somewhat some English stuff.
But. Yeah, I read that you said that you were born in England, but then you connected more to, because you, I mean, you moved pretty young, right?
Yeah, I spent most of my life here.
Yeah,
so it's very much an American, Americanized household by far. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Cool. Yeah. So, like, when did you get the acting or the entertainment itch? Like, when did that first come about?
Well, I think I've always been a fan of movies, and I definitely get that from my father. Mm. You know, my dad is even still a huge collector of movies, and he's a cinephile, and that was something that was just a part of my household for as long as I can remember. Mm-hmm. Huh. So I'd always loved movies and loved different stories and things like that, but I really didn't find myself looking into the entertainment industry as a career until maybe my junior year in college. Mm. And that was just because I had a desire to venture into creative writing, which kind of, you know, segued into screenwriting. Mm-hmm. And that was why I actually ended up moving to Los Angeles. So the whole acting thing didn't really come about until I actually got here. And my aunt, she had, like, a small boutique agency that she was, you know, starting. And she was just like, well, I mean, you're here and you're staying with us while you're getting established. You know, I can just submit you for stuff. And I was like, okay, guess that'll be cool. You know, so it definitely wasn't something that I set out to do when I first moved here, but I had done plays in high school and for the church when I was younger. So I wasn't, like, it was just, like, blindly jumping into a completely new thing. But as a career, absolutely, it was definitely, like, a weird turn of events.
Yeah.
Was there a particular movie that kind of stood out to you, like, when you were growing up, that you were all, oh my God, I kind of want to do that?
Oh man, it was probably, like, anything Denzel related.
Oh, okay.
Absolutely. if I could pick one, it would maybe be Mo Better Blues. Mm-hmm. It's like one of my all-time favorites of his, and that was one of my dad's favorites. So that would have probably been the movie that I was like, man, this dude, he's like, he's killing it. He's in everything. When you're a child, you know, I didn't really know who Denzel was until I got older, but you know, that was, he was definitely a big influence on me wanting to pursue the art.
You started out in political science, mm-hmm. right? Okay. And then was that something that you wanted to do for a long time? And then just, or was it just one something that, like, maybe, I guess, in your mind was more practical for you to pursue?
Well, I was a psychology major when I first, you know, enrolled in school. But it was like, we had to do, as far as like, you know, the curriculum of getting that degree, you had to do like a lot of math. And I hate math. Mm. I hate numbers.
Yeah.
So I was like, I'm going to change my major to something where you can write papers instead of taking tests. So that kind of, you know, shifted to political science with a minor in philosophy, but I wanted to be a journalist.
Oh,
okay.
I was playing football in school. I played running back for 3 years, but I wasn't touching the field other than practice. I was like, okay, I should probably, you know, put my efforts elsewhere. So, the truest definition of a bench warmer.
We just had a bench warmer on here.
Yeah, we were like John David Washington was.
Yeah, my boy, JD. Yeah, he wasn't a bench warmer. He played in the NFL.
Yeah,
But he said his position was bench warmer.
Yeah, he was like, left bench.
He's been at humble, which I totally appreciate. But I was in New York with him a couple of weeks ago. We were having dinner and we were talking about it. I get the bench warmer thing. Man, you played in the NFL, the National Football League. It's kind of different. I was in college and I was a practice dummy. It was a little different. But shout out to John David. I wanted to be a journalist. I was writing for the school paper.
Oh, nice.
Which, that's how you know right there, because you can't like be writing on school paper and be playing football. It's 24 hours in.
What was your beat in the school paper? What were you writing about?
I was doing like the sports stuff.
Oh, cool. Okay,
which was so weird because, you know, we had a guy who played a running back as well, but he was like our star. Mm-hmm. And he ended up going to the NFL and playing for the Steelers. His name is Isaac Redmond. But like, I ended up doing like a featured piece on him when he actually got drafted. And it was so weird because I was trying to talk to him as a journalist and he was like, Javon, like,
you're my
student. This is kind of weird, you know what I'm saying? But yeah, so that's
writing for, I wrote for my college paper too. It's like you think it's the most important thing. I mean, at the time. I mean, like, I wrote reviews and stuff. I remember my first piece was a review of Janet Jackson's All For You album.
Yeah. Nice. You're like, this is my moment. I'm going to show people what I'm all about. Trust me, I totally get it.
So, right out the gate, you know, you have worked with amazing people like Denzel Washington and Viola Davis for Fences, Darren Aronofsky for Mother! Exclamation point. Damon Lindelof for Leftovers, J.J. Mm-hmm. Abrams for Overlord, and then Ava for upcoming. I mean, how has it been to like kind of be thrust into this world with like such luminaries?
I've been very fortunate.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. I definitely do not take any of these opportunities for granted because it's a very tough industry. It's incredibly competitive. What I've come to learn and accept is that, you know, with any given part, you know, if you're lucky to get the part, it's great. But you got to understand there's probably like 100 other guys who could have done just as good a job as you did or done the same role and been just as efficient. So when you actually get the opportunity to work with these filmmakers and these writers and these projects, like, you have to, you know, give it your all because nothing is ever guaranteed in this business.
Yeah.
So I've really, you know, relished in the opportunities and really, you know, been appreciative of everything that I've been doing.
Yeah. And the projects are so different. But working with them, what have you learned, like, from, I don't want you to go down the list, but yeah, go down the list if you want. But like with these veterans and these like very kind of, they have distinct visions, but what have you learned from like working with such, you know, icons, I guess you would say?
I've been really fortunate that the people that I've been able to work with are like open books when it comes to, you know, in their, you know, respected opinions, like how to navigate the business. But I think just the through line for all of them was to really enjoy the journey. You know, I think we are all different as far as what we can bring to characters and projects. So me reaching out to each one of them and asking them, like, what would you advise as far as, like, somebody who's still relatively new, not crazy new, but, mm-hmm, you know, still mm-hmm. trying to find his footing. And they were just like, you just got to keep your head down and follow projects that you're passionate about mm-hmm. and what you want to do. You're the person that really determines, you know, your worth in the industry. You know, you have to rest in that faith that what you want to do is what you're going to be able to do. You just have to keep working hard. Mm-hmm. So that's mm-hmm. basically how I navigate as far as what jobs I'm, you know, pursuing and what roles I want to play. I just, mm-hmm. you know, stay confident in what I think my abilities are and try to, you know, highlight those.
At this point, do you feel like you have more control over the projects that you want to, that you do or you want to be a part of?
I'm not sure.
Okay.
I haven't, like, gone into, like, generals, you know, the general meetings or auditions mm-hmm. or anything like, yeah, mm-hmm. now they know what's up. You know what I mean? I never feel that way. Yeah. You know, mm-hmm. I go into every room, like, with an incredible amount of nerves.
Yeah.
Just because I want to continue to build a reputation around the industry of, you know, of doing good work and mm-hmm, mm-hmm. and being sincere and truthful in my performances. So I think there will always be a certain level of stakes that I'll have going into any room. If it's an audition or if it's just a meeting, I'm mm-hmm. still going to be trying to do my best to be, you know, open and transparent and you know, showcasing the best version of myself mm-hmm. to do the job.
Do you have certain projects that maybe you tell your reps, like, I want to do these kind of roles?
All the time.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
All the time. There's okay. way too many to, like, go down the list. Yeah, but, you know, I could be, you know, I'm a night owl, so I'll usually be up really late watching movies. And if I see, like, a performance from one of my favorites, I'll send, like, a link of that, you know, from a scene for that movie that's mm-hmm. on YouTube and send it to my agent and be like, this is the type of shit I want to be
yeah,
doing.
Yeah.
This is what I want to be doing. And they know that, you know, I drive them crazy and sometimes it's fun to do that. Like, yeah. It's 2:30. I'm not, why am I even answering it? But you know, you're passionate about what you're passionate about.
Yeah, exactly.
And I've always been like that. I've been with, you know, my reps for quite some time now. And I think they know me mm-hmm. more than anybody else in this industry. So they know how I am.
Yeah.
They know what I expect and, you know, they expect a certain type of work from me as well so that we can keep the relationship going. So
what was that last movie that you sent them that you saw?
The last movie that I sent to them was the last movie that I sent to them in, like, form of, like, an email wasn't even, like, a new one. It's been out for forever. It's The Devil's Advocate.
Oh,
I just watched that movie on Netflix.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It was on Netflix, and I was like, yeah.
I forgot about that movie.
Bringing some heat now. Bringing the older movies back.
Yeah.
And I stayed up, watched again, and I just forgot, like, how good it was and how solid Al Pacino's performance was. And I was like, man.
Yeah.
And it wasn't like, I didn't send them an email like, guys, this is the kind of movie that they would have been like, Javon, it's been out for years. Yeah. I was just like, no, guys. Well,
there's a remake.
Yeah, there's a remake. I don't even know if I would want to touch it. I don't know if
that movie is bonkers. Yeah. So.
I remember it coming on and my parents made us leave. Like they didn't know that.
Because that was also kind of the first time we kind of saw Charlize, right? Like, yeah. Well, she's been out for a while, but it was like one of her earlier roles.
Yeah.
And Keanu. Of course.
Oh, yeah.
You have to love Keanu.
That was a good one.
So, you know, I'm looking again at just, like, from Fences mm-hmm. to Mother. I really like how there's an exclamation point at that. And then, like, The Leftovers and then Overlord and then coming up Central Park mm-hmm. 5. It's like these roles, like, you know, Fences is very, you know, stagey, like a stage play and sure. very, like, dramatic. Whereas, like, Mother, again, that was it's almost like a Devil's Advocate thing. It was almost like really bonkers. But,
absolutely.
And I loved it. I know there's mixed opinions on it, but I loved that movie. And then The Leftovers mm-hmm. makes your brain bleed. Like,
of course, yeah. that's damaged. That's
damaged. And then, you know, you have Overlord, which is very kind of like genre.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And but, you know, and then Central Park 5 is based on a true story.
Absolutely.
And but, you know, when you choose your roles, you know, how do you or like when you go out for roles and when you want roles, like mm-hmm. what you said, how does that kind of reflect your own, like, identity and, like, your own, like, narrative you want to tell for yourself?
Well, I think the main thing is just me trying to align myself with projects and characters that allow me to you know, portray different people. Mm-hmm. You know, I think it's very easy to fall into, like, a certain pattern of characters you can play. And, I mean, when you first start out, I think that that's just a part of it for everyone.
Yeah.
Because I could easily tell you that, like, as far as Corey from Fences or Michael Murphy from Leftovers or Boyce from Overlord, like, they all have, like, this apparent, sincerity and just like they're nice guys. Mm-hmm. I can find similarities between those guys, mm-hmm. but then I can also find plenty of differences as far as their attitudes and, you know, the things that helped me play those characters are different. Mm-hmm. But I think, you know, I don't know. I guess I seem like a generally nice guy to be on screen because those are nice characters. Yeah. But, you know, I just want to try to, you know, play different people who are going through different experiences that are different from my own. Mm-hmm. And I think I've been fortunate with these roles. Even there's another project I did for Facebook, Sorry for Your Loss.
Yeah.
And that was, you know, completely different as well. And I, like I said before, I've just been really lucky to find characters that I continue to find interesting. Mm-hmm. As long as it's interesting and there's a story to tell and these people have layers and they're, you know, narratives that you can really sink into, then I'm always gonna give it a fair shot or a fair read. Mm-hmm. And I've just been lucky so far to be able to work with filmmakers who want me to continue to push myself and play different roles.
Yeah. So with like with everything that's going on with people kind of like standing up for, you know, and asking for a change in Hollywood when it mm-hmm. comes to storytelling with people of color, and I mean with, you know, people of color, people of the LGBTQ community, mm-hmm. women, what excites you most about the future of being part of this kind of realm of storytelling?
I think it's just that. Yeah. I think that it is becoming much more diverse, you know what I mean? And I think that now there's an even broader I guess spectrum for what types of projects will be greenlit, mm-hmm. what type of projects will be, you know, getting on screen, big and small screen. So, I mean, just being able to be a part of this, I guess, era mm-hmm. of mm-hmm. witnessing it it's a blessing in itself. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's really cool. And now we're seeing so many talented artists out there that maybe 5 or 10 years ago we wouldn't have seen.
Yeah.
So I think it's a great time, and you know, I'm excited just to be witness.
Yeah.
No. I think that's the best way to answer.
And so, and also we like to like kind of wrap up the interview, like just talk about like what's next for you. We know you have, well, Overlord's already out, but mm-hmm. then you also have Jack Ryan mm-hmm. season
Second
2.
Season of Jack Ryan.
And then Central Park 5, which you mentioned. And then A Violent Heart.
Director Karim Singh is a brilliant young filmmaker. But I'm really excited about that as well. And I believe that should be in the first quarter of next year.
Yeah.
Start, mm-hmm. I think.
Is there anything that you haven't done that you're really itching to do?
Yes. But for the sake of not jinxing it.
Yeah.
But there are people obviously in the industry that I want to work with and mm-hmm. they know who they are at this point.
Mm-hmm.
They,
you don't want to put it content. Out there and manifest it. Yeah. You don't believe in this.
You don't, you're more of a jinx rather than manifest.
Yeah.
It depends on
the day. I think I'm the same way. I'm not going to say anything about it.
Not even that it's jinxing it. It's like, I don't know. It just almost sounds like a radio shout out, like to like your boyfriend or girlfriend. This goes out to, some, you know what I mean? It's like, I'd be like, blah, blah, blah. I want to work with you. And I imagine it being in the car like, oh my God.
Well, I will say we've had a couple of guests on here that have like voiced what they wanted to do.
Totally.
And they've actually gotten meetings.
Yes.
They heard him say it on the podcast. Yeah. Just not to brag.
No, that's all right. Trust me. Put it this way. One of the people that I'm really like excited to work with like immediately, I've already like had the meeting and all that.
So it'd be like,
I heard you already. Knock it off. So I'm just gonna leave it at that.
The foundation has been built.
I want to work with everyone.
Well, that makes sense.
When
is the last time you cried tears of joy?
Last time I cried tears of joy.
Oh. We're getting deep here.
Yeah.
I just have a horrible memory. Last time I cried tears of joy would probably be seeing my younger sister. She was going to she's going to homecoming or prom.
Aww.
And everybody lives on the East Coast. Everybody's still back home in Maryland. So I don't see them as often mm-hmm. probably as I should.
Mm-hmm.
But she's like growing up now. She's 16 years old. And aww. It's just weird to like get pictures from my mom seeing Michaela, and it's just like, wow. You know, as a big brother, I'm not even the oldest brother, but as a big brother with two young sisters, Michaela Mariah, I'm just like, oh man, knockouts, man.
Yeah, aww. I know, you miss those moments. Yeah. I don't have, it's my cousins, like they're much younger and I like seeing them like doing like school and like do like, it's just like, I really, and they're back in Texas. I don't get to see it. And it's just kind of like, you know, phone, like it's like.
Your phone? I see people like my little cousins and stuff in high school and college. And I'm like, I'm glad I'm not in that position anymore.
No, but you do miss those moments.
Of course.
And, like,
fun moments, not the actual actual going to actual classes and homework.
Yeah. It was fun. She didn't care. She was like, yeah, I'm going home, coming to Dubai.
Did she have a date?
She did.
Oh, shit.
Oh. Oh, God.
Are you that type of brother?
I'm not as bad as my older brother.
Okay.
Way worse. He's man, I'm going with him.
Yeah. So how many are you total siblings?
Four.
Okay. So two boys and two girls?
No. Yeah. Two boys and girls. And then, you know, my parents, they divorced and remarried. So, we have steps.
Okay.
But everybody, gets long. It's weird, huge mess.
So, Overlord's kind of a scary movie. You know, there's a horror element to there.
Absolutely.
Yeah. But what's the scariest movie you've ever seen?
The scariest movie that I've ever seen.
That every time you see it, it gets you.
Yeah, like you have to sleep with the lights on.
It would have to be between The Babadook or The Conjuring.
The Conjuring freaked me out.
The Conjuring is rough.
When you're laying there in the dark, you're expecting to see two hands come out and clap.
Yeah, I don't like that.
Oh, yeah.
If that was modern, like Evil Dead, like the older Evil Dead. Crazy too.
Yeah. Mine was It, but I was able
the
to
new
see
one
the
new or the
no
first
the,
one?
The first one.
The first one, yeah.
I could not watch it.
He is any clown.
Yeah, that clown. Yeah,
I don't mess with clowns.
No. Yeah. Okay. Describe yourself in three hashtags.
Three hashtags.
There you go.
we're explaining why.
We're digging into it.
I'm trying to think because there was some that I was joking around with John David about when I was in New York for Central Park. Ava wanted me to get bigger, to play the guy I'm playing. His name is Antron because when he went to prison, he got big.
Uh-huh.
So I put on 20 pounds while I was doing Jack Ryan. And I remember I kept telling him hashtag trap zone for your trap.
Oh, no.
So it's trap zone, trap season. But I can't remember the other ones.
Oh, that's a good one.
There were two other ones that I was doing, but just through conversation. Oh, man, it's so bad. I can't think of them right
now. Hashtag trap zone.
Yeah, season was the main one. Hashtag cozy, which is from ASAP Mob. That's ASAP Rocky's game.
Yeah.
They just call cozy somebody who's dressed. They think they're fly and, they're dressed comfortably. So they call it. They're like, man, that's cozy. That's cozy right now.
Oh, I have not heard it.
And me and my best friends say that a lot to
is that
around.
An East Coast thing?
It's a New York thing, because they're all the ASAP Mobs from New York.
Yeah. Oh, that's cozy. I've never heard that one.
Now, when I say it, doesn't sound cool. That looks cozy.
But they say it, and they're rappers for one. They say everything, and then they have New York accents.
The New York
Harlem,
accent to it, yeah.
So
yeah.
Cozy, and you're like, oh man, that sounds cool.
Yeah, that sounds cool.
I'm gonna start saying
it looks like you're on the couch with a blanket drinking hot cocoa.
That's cozy. Yeah,
that's cozy. Yeah,
that is.
All right, new word. Cool.
Hashtag cozy.
Come on,
it's happening. Come on.
Trying to join the group.
And then our final question, we ask this to all our guests, is there an underrepresented voice in the industry, whether it be an actor, writer, producer, director, who is not in the mainstream that you think deserves more shine?
Oh man, there's
There's a lot.
We know. Yeah. We ask. Yeah.
Just yeah.
Look, you're more than welcome to list as many as you can. We have all the time. We don't have all the time, but list as many as you want.
I feel like there's one in particular. This guy that I met, and he cast me in his first short film, his thesis film, and he's working, but it's I wouldn't even say he hasn't been discovered yet.
Yeah.
But his name is Ryan Lipscomb, and he's a staff writer on a TV show for HBO right now.
Okay.
But I'm not gonna air his business out. But
okay.
He gave me my first speaking. When you first come out here, audition for everything. His graduate thesis, and he cast me, and that was the reel that I was using to go out and find agents and stuff. So he was kind of indirectly my first. I'm really getting to do some type of speaking role out here in LA, so I'll never forget him for that. But he's slowly making his way, and he's writers and directors around town know about him. He just hasn't gotten it yet.
Which is
right around the corner.
Yeah, it's a lot of people they're just right there. And it's just that one person. I mean, it's always that one person or one project or something, and it's
absolutely.
Just you just take off. So
yeah, I have no doubt it's coming, but just to name one
of
many.
There are a lot.
There are a lot out there.
Yeah.
And that's kind of why we like to, that's why we started this podcast, just to kind of give shine to people.
Absolutely.
Awesome things.
Yeah, cool. Well, thank you so much for being here.
Yes.
For stopping by.
Yeah.
And congrats to everything.
Congrats to everything.
Appreciate it.